Translation. Arjuna said, O master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. Purport. Arjuna, after hearing from Krishna about the outcome of the battle of Kurukshetra, became enlightened. And as a great devotee and friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said that everything done by Krishna is quite fit. Oh, Prabhupada says it so nice. It's quite fit. Arjuna confirmed that Krishna is the maintainer and the object of worship for the devotees and the destroyer of the undesirables. His actions are equally good for all. Arjuna understood herein that when the battle of Kurukshetra was being concluded, in outer space there were present many demigods, siddhas, and the intelligentsia of the higher planets, and they were observing the fight because Krishna was present there. When Arjuna saw the universal form of the Lord, the demigods took pleasure in it, but others, who were demons and atheists, could not stand it when the Lord was praised. Out of their natural fear of the devastating form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they fled. Krishna's treatment of the devotees and the atheists is praised by Arjuna. In all cases, a devotee glorifies the Lord because he knows that whatever he does is good for all. Govindanandan, your voice is especially loud this evening. Is this correct? Is it only my perception, or I'm asking? I experience it as very loud. Yeah, but maybe it's because everyone is so quiet. But it is a very wonderful loud voice this evening. Arjuna speaks this verse in the Bhagavad Gita after he had actually a very frightening experience. He had seen within his friend Lord Krishna the universal form of Krishna's majestic cosmic rupa. This form has three features. The first feature of Krishna's universal form was that this form really included everything. Krishna showed Arjuna how within his form, simultaneously, all the universes were present. The second feature of Krishna's universal form was that it was full of dazzling bright light. Arjuna, in his language, said it looked as if thousands of suns were all present in one spot in Krishna's form. Must have been glaring. And the third aspect of Krishna's universal form was that Arjuna could actually see within the form of the Lord the future. I think we all know from our Western mysticism, these old ladies who look in crystal bowls and who say, I see the dissolution of the town Belgrade will be swept by the Duna into the ocean and so on. And I mean, I don't want to draw this comparison to Krishna, but But Krishna showed actually within himself the Ausgang, the final conclusion of the battle, the greatest battle of the history, the battle in Kurukshetra. So Arjuna had seen all this, I should say, these overwhelming aspects of Krishna's universal form, and he was a little frightened. But then he said something which is very, very, very wonderful. He said he took shelter at the time in Krishna's holy names. Whenever there's an overwhelming spiritual realization, the devotees respond to it by saying Hare Krishna or Hari Hari or just chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When you that's the best thing to say when you have a Krishna conscious realization. And Arjuna took shelter and he says, O master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. So this holy name was spread and preached by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let me put this here. As we said yesterday, you know, here this morning, I'm sorry, my memory falls apart when I talk from morning till evening. As we said this morning. Not yesterday. Yesterday was another blissful day. As we said this morning, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most recent incarnation of Lord Krishna, and he was spreading the holy name of Krishna by garlanding the whole world with a garland of the holy names and prema. That is, someone who chants the holy name now in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method will get not only he will not only chant, but he will chant with a certain mood, a certain love in his heart. And we were talking all about this in the morning. Now, I would like to say something about the holy name, which you will find surprising and very interesting, I think. Once, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked about the difference of Krishna consciousness to all other religions. And he said there is one difference. Krishna consciousness, or the Krishna conscious process, is both the means and the goal, that is, the way and the zeal, the put and the zeal. And he must have had the holy name in his mind. When you chant the holy name, in the beginning, it is only a sadhana, that is, a practice, which brings about a certain satya, that is a spiritual goal. But as you continue to chant, you will see that the practice itself, the practice of chanting itself, is the goal. It is Krishna. You chant, and as you chant, you see how from the name the beautiful form and the qualities of the Lord appear within the lotus of your heart, or you can see it actually inside, how the name is not just a combination of letters, but you see how the vibration itself is form. That you will see, actually. Hare Krishna. And then you will notice, oops, I was chanting. And while I was chanting, I was actually in direct contact with Krishna. But I could not realize it at the time, because I was still too much in my own little world. You feel like that. Hare Krishna. There's a little story which I've told maybe in Croatia, but I will tell it again. It's about a man who was very busy, and therefore he was not able to do any spiritual practice. So once Narada Muni came to him and said, "You're wasting your time. You are not engaged in spiritual life." The man said, I have no time. I have to do business all day." Then Narada Muni asked, "Is there any time where you can do any spare time where you can chant a mantra?" The man said, "Yes, when I'm sitting on the toilet." You know, some people read on the toilets. This man wanted to perform spiritual practice on the toilet. So, Narada Muni said, "Okay, chant Rama, Rama, Rama. This is good for you." So whenever the man went into the bathroom, he began and had his little sitting, his sit-in, he began to chant Rama's name. Now, whenever Rama's name is chanted, Hanuman comes. He likes the name of his master so much. And he actually came into the bathroom and saw how this man disrespectfully chanted the name of his Lord and Master while being in a dirty place. He was so agitated that he boxed and kicked the man. But he was so surprised when he saw that the man was not affected by his kicks and by his boxing. He didn't even move, but he couldn't continue. Rama, Rama, Rama. Hanuman couldn't understand the word. When he had kicked Ravan, the most powerful person in the universe, Ravan was flying through the air and came on the ground. But here was this ordinary human being, unprepared for any combat, because he was sitting in his bathroom. What was going on? So he decided, because this had never happened to him, that someone didn't respond to his kicking, he decided to go to Lord Rama and asked him. But when he wanted to enter the palace guard stopped him and said, "Ram is not well, he cannot receive you. He has not come out of bed." Hanuman was not so easy to be stopped. He went from the back over the balconies, jumped into the sleeping room, which was still dark, and heard his Lord groaning. Ah. "What is the matter? Why do you experience pain?" asked Hanuman. Ram answered, "What is it to you? You were the one who kicked me this morning." "What? You know I would never even consider to do any harm to you. Why do you say I kicked you this morning?" Then Ram said, "Hanuman, come here. You should know by now that my name and I am not different." So when this man was chanting in the bathroom, I was personally present. And when you kicked him, you kicked me, Hari Bol. And then Ram went out of bed and embraced Hanuman and said, please know, those who chant my name are very dear to me. I am always with them. Hare Krishna. So this is a little story, folklore story, as they tell you in India, but it makes a wise point. Krishna is present in his holy name. And this holy name was spread by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mercifully. He gave, in other words, a process which, when the process becomes mature, then you realize it's the goal. Der Weg und das Ziel sind eins, sagt man in Deutsch. The put and the zeal are, oh Krishna, one. To realize this now, you need to become a scientist of the holy name. You need to go into the detail. You need to study this art and learn this art. It's not that in the beginning, when you start your chanting, you can do it very simple, just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and so on. But as you grow older in your spiritual life, you really need to know what to do to make the practice fully successful. You cannot just do it in an automatic way any longer. This morning we heard that to really chant the holy name, you need to do it in a loving way. There's a verse from Rupa Goswami which expresses this. He says, when will your holy names become as tasteful to me as the lips of a young girl are tasteful for the materialist? When, my Lord, will I repeat again and again your holy name, just like a lover reads again and again the letter which he has received from his beloved who is far away in the distance? You can see, this type of chanting is a chanting where love is there. And we heard this morning that Lord Chaitanya's gift to the world was the holy names strung on the string of prema. Now there is one thing about love. Love cannot be ordered. Love cannot be forced. Love cannot be, I would say, artificially arisen. But love can grow. And it is here where you can enter the secrets of the holy name. Love can grow. How does love grow? I was talking about this, I believe, in Split. Oh, yes. Love can grow if you start to give attention. When you start to give full attention to a person, at that moment, this feeling of love begins to grow. In fact, attention is, so to say, the seed or the ground. Yeah, seed is a good word. The seed from which the plant of love will grow. Please remember, when you developed this feeling of love, you became very attentive to the person. Maybe you were feeling in your life, you were thinking of that person. I remember once when I was with one devotee who is now a Grihastha together, that Grihastha would receive a phone call from his fiancée every 5 minutes. Ring, ring, ring. It was, for me, it was very sensational. I had never seen this in my life. I asked the Grihastha and he told me, it's absolutely normal. This is how everything starts, with attention. Something like this we discussed. I do not believe that well, the exact words which we interchange. But you must know this. First of all, you become attentive. You notice the person. You thought maybe previously this person, you didn't think of the person. You didn't even know the name of the person. Now this person is totally in your mind. The frisura and the, what else is there? I'm not so good in this because I'm a monk. What else? Frisura. I don't know. Cloth. What cloth does the person be? What? You may go into the temple and your eyes may look in the shoes. Are the shoes of this person ever here? Puyah! I don't know if I dare to enter the temple room now. You know, it's this human thing of attention. You really notice details and so on and so forth. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says that this is also how lust starts. You know, by contemplating the objects of the senses, that karma appears, the desire to enjoy. And from this comes greed, and if the enjoyment is frustrated, anger. These are the natural progression. But it starts from contemplation, that is, from looking in that direction and thinking about it. This means attention. Attention goes in this way. So if you want that love of Krishna starts, you have to pay attention to Krishna, Brajamani. The attention to Krishna, there are three ways in which you can pay your attention to Krishna. One is, and I would really suggest you to start this process. One is that you become attentive of Krishna in your immediate environment. We were talking about this in Sarajevo, actually. That you look into the world, but you try to find Krishna there. When we drove from Split to Zadar, we looked at the mountains from our blue car. And they looked exactly like the Himalayan mountains. And we were immediately thinking, oh, Krishna is the Himalaya. And in this way, we were remembering Krishna while we were comfortably driving in our blue car. When you drink water, you can meditate. Krishna is the taste in this water. Try to no longer ignore Krishna, who's all around you, but give him attention. Oh, he's there. My Lord is there. Another way to learn to pay attention to Krishna is that you are interested to find out more about Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities. I know that in Vrindavan there are devotees who can tell you every minute of the day what Krishna is just now doing in his leelas. Of course, they will tell, they don't exactly, you can never know, because Krishna is always doing something new and fresh. But his pastimes have a general flow to them. So the general flow they will be able to tell you. But what I think that we can train our attention in the best possible way is when we chant in the morning the holy names. Love cannot be forced, but attention can be brought to a certain task. You know, we can actually tell ourselves to close our eyes and think of the ocean. Vroom, and after some time, our mind is there. We can, in other words, bring our attention to a task. We can tell our mind, go to the ocean. Or go to wherever we wanted to go. This same principle holds true when we chant. We can actually tell our mind, listen. Listen very carefully. Let the holy name enter into your mind. And the mind will do that. I would like to request you to do a little exercise with me. We will chant, and I would to request you to just try to bring your mind into the flow of the mantra as we are chanting it. And you can imagine that the chanting is like a river which flows into your heart, from the tongue into the heart. Some description is there like that you pour the ghee. The ghee is like a golden liquid fluid in the ear, and it will go into the heart stream. So please close you, sit down properly. We will do this exercise. Please try to sit straight with your spine in one line. And breathe out very deeply. And breathe in very deeply. A few times deeply in and out. Whenever you breathe out, you can just imagine how the tension of the day leaves you. And then I will now chant one time the Hare Krishna mantra alone. And then when I give you this signal, then we will chant it. But this time we will try to meditate that we are in the river of the holy name, in the river of sound. I will chant it alone, and then when the signal comes, we will do it together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continue, please. Hare Krishna. Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And bring your mind into the river of the sound.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Thank you. Now comes the second part. In the second part, we will see whenever our mind either goes away, or when our mind becomes a little dull, or as you say in your language, tupko, that is no longer so sharp and concentrated, you just try to bring it into the river of the sound. Please do this. It's a mind control exercise. You will see how powerful all of a sudden something will happen with you. So, we bring our mind into the river of sound, and whenever it goes, as it most probably does, or becomes just lenig, is not there properly, then you bring it back. You want to just experience how the holy name is like a river in which you are bathed. We can start all at once.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
So I think you can see that while love cannot be forced or brought about or induced, attention can, full attention can. And from this seed of attention, you can really develop love of Krishna. It's possible. Yeah, because when you give attention, at that time, a magic starts. Magic is maybe too much magical. certain dynamics start. You give the holy name the chance, or the sound vibration, the chance to model you and model your consciousness and model your life. Only when you are inattentive, you are actually, as the English word says, absent from the holy name. We say this absent-minded, absent-minded. We are not present. We are somewhere else. So by this attention, you come close to the holy name. You're present where the holy name is, and the holy name can change you. It's almost like when you have a candle, and in the candle a wick, which is lit by fire. Then that fire is there, and it will begin to influence and shape the candle. The candle will start to melt at a place, and you know it. Like that. So when Krishna is in the mind and you are present there you know, you're not absent-minded, then Krishna will start to work on you. And it's his force, so to say, which will move you. It's no longer your own force. Therefore, attention while chanting the holy name is just very, very nice. I experienced this yesterday when we had a small group of devotees and we were just peacefully chanting away the same melody for 1 hour or so. And we were just looking at the deities and I could feel all of a sudden this wonderful effect in my life. What I always feel when I chant, my first reaction is I'm moving away from the mind and the body and come into come to another level of awareness and consciousness. And then when I look at Krishna or think of Krishna, then I meet Krishna in the free space which has been created by the distance from the body and the mind. That's just one very subjective experience, but many devotees have other experiences. I just wanted to say, when you pay attention, this is what happens. Inattention, this is the opposite, is created by 3 factors: laziness, distraction, and indifference. And I have given many lectures in the past about how to overcome each obstacle. Laziness when you chant, or distraction, or indifference. And I do not wish to repeat this here in great detail. But if you really want to that something happens in your life, you have to fight inattention by fighting your laziness in chanting, by fighting the many distractions which can happen, and by also becoming more eager for Krishna consciousness and in this way overcoming this indifference towards Krishna. Oh, we are not. Prabhupada once said, when one hears about Krishna, one should be enthusiastic to go back home, back to God. So when we feel we don't have this enthusiasm, but an indifference to it, we should hear more about Krishna and understand how important he is in our lives. Good. I want to come to and I'm looking in Gaurahari's direction, and he gives me a nod. The surprise is almost ready, or is ready. Two things which I would like you to take home from here. Try to work on your attention, because from there love for Krishna can come. Become attentive to him in his many forms. And the second thing is, try to become enriched in feelings with separation. That is, think like Lord Chaitanya describes, "Oh my Lord, I'm actually your eternal servant, but I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Although I have nothing to do with this material world, the waves of this world are influencing me so much. My dear Lord, please be causelessly merciful to me, and just pull me out of this material world." This is how you should pray. Mahaprabhu has said this is a good prayer. There is something about feeling separation is required. It's from Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita lecture. It's given in Hawaii of all places. Who has been to Hawaii from you? Oh yeah, no? I thought. I heard you only get garlands in Hawaii when you pay for it. It's not like in Krishna consciousness. So Hawaii, I heard, is a place for sense enjoyment. Beach and so on. I also was never there. Don't need to go there. And Prabhupada, in this tropical island, he gave a lecture about what we have heard this morning, this feeling of separations. He actually said how we could begin like this. And I would like to read this lecture, not the whole lecture, just a little excerpt for 2 minutes. Is it all right? Radharani thinks, all others are engaged in Krishna's devotion, but I am not. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have not a pinch of devotion to Krishna. Then if someone asks him, why are you crying then? To make a show, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am crying for Krishna just to advertise that I have become a big devotee. But actually, I don't have a pinch of devotion for Krishna. Pinch is like when you take a pinch of salt, it's this much. You go like this. Don't have a pinch of devotion for Krishna. No, you are such a great devotee, everyone says. No, everyone may say, but I am not a great devotee. Why are you not? Although I am separated from Krishna, still I am living. That is the proof that I have no love for Krishna. Prabhupada is speaking back and forth. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement. If I had a drop of love for Krishna, how could I live so long without him? This is love of Krishna. How can I live in separation from Krishna? This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. The Goswamis followed this. They never said, now I have seen Krishna. No. Then Prabhupada quotes a verse. Hey Radhe Braja Devike Cholalite Hey Nanda Suno Kutaha. They were simply feeling separation. They lived in Vrindavan. But they never said, last night I saw Krishna dancing. Rather they said, Krishna and the gopis, Radharani, where are you all? Where are you? Are you near Govardhan Hill? You can imagine the Goswamis running to Govardhan Hill. Are you here? No. Then they ran to the river Yamuna. Or are you on the bank of the river Yamuna? Where are you? This is called bhajan. Devotion and separation. We should increase our aspiration in this way. Vishe and Vishe. More and more. That is required. That asha, that hope, that expectation will lead us to the topmost platform of devotion. As I said yesterday, sometimes the right question is better than the right answer, because the question will point our attention in the direction where we will find our own answer. So this is what I wanted to say to all of you. I thank you very, very much for listening to this. I must tell you, this sounds very simple or maybe even clear to you, but I personally feel this is really the secret of the Krishna consciousness movement, to do our sadhana or our spiritual practice requires that we enter into the proper mood, and from this mood everything can come in due course of time. Krishna. So now I want to reward all of you. You have listened so long to me, and I feel very grateful. As I said to one devotee, we were talking this today about finding one's own destination in life. One's own destination is not the right word, dharma. And this devotee was expressing some desire or to find the dharma, and I said, you should simply look, what do you, when you do it, what makes you feel that you are acting according to your nature, that you like doing this, what makes you deeply satisfied, when you do something which consistently makes you deeply satisfied, then this might be your dharma. So I felt deeply satisfied to dance and to chant with all of you and to spend time, and I'm very grateful that you were such a kind association and good association. And I really feel that there's some very nice relationship to these areas. I tried to ignore this for a very long time, because I said, well, maybe it's just an imagination. But I told devotees that the first time I actually came to Yugoslavia, I felt, wow, this is my home. I might have been in a previous life here. And when I entered Belgrade, I almost knew every street. I thought I was a street sweeper or maybe taxi driver in Belgrade in my previous life. And spontaneously, I gave it the name Bhagavad Gita town. BG Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna, Krishna. Then later I learned that there are different parts in Serbia, Croatia, and they are not always so friendly, the politicians with each other and all. But I saw it more as people with different temperaments and like that's all. And therefore I'm very glad to be here. And I was yesterday just so much happy to see so many nice people. Even a whole university class came here, and they were also so happy. And when they sat everyone on the floor, they were just so nice and so respectful. And then I went to the room where our special guests, where we had somehow tried to give them stolitzas and seats, but they were so much influenced by the floor sitting culture that they also wanted to prefer to sit on the floor. And it's very nice, Krishna. So now I thought to end our